Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons stars in the new MGM Plus original series, The Westies.
There it is, Javits Center.
Biggest construction project in the history of New York falls into the lap of the Irish.
This Irish crime gang built New York City on blood, sweat, and loyalty. Their legend is true.
The Italians outnumber us about 100 to 1.
Their story is criminal.
This Irish guy's threatening war.
He's gotta go.
Keep out of Hell's Kitchen.
The Westies. Watch now. Only on MGM Plus.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode... 383. We said 400 last time because it was technically our 400th episode, but this is in order of canon, episode 383. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Trill Ballins. I got a cool draft today, a desserts draft. We're going to start doing like really big final drafts here. A desserts draft. We've never done this one before. We're also going to review Stillwater.
Matt Damon.
We're not going to review Stillwater. That's not like some like woke decision about Matt Damon. Like, I just don't really want to talk about Stillwater. I actually kind of liked it more than most people, I think. But I kind of wanted to talk about a bad movie. So we're doing The Kissing Booth 3, which is on Netflix.
It has nothing to do with Matt Damon, actually. It's nothing to do with we're a big Amanda Knox podcast. And yes. That was just a big disservice to her, that movie.
Also, that movie, apparently Stillwater is like hard to find in some places. So I figured, you know what, let's do a shitty Netflix movie. And if you don't want to watch the movie, just hear us talk about how fucking bad. It's bad. It's a bad movie. It's a bad, it's bad movie.
Yeah. It's not like it was procedurally generated by a computer that just watched a bunch of TikTok videos.
Yes. Also pretty racist against Italians. The Mario Kart scene. So,
oh, sure. I didn't really think about that.
I'm sure Ken Jack will have a 5 minute soap. You're in a soapbox about that in 5 minutes, right?
As if we haven't suffered enough over the last 24 hours and insult to injury with this movie.
Oh, boy. Lot to talk about with this movie. And then we'll do the desserts draft. No interview today. What's going on other than that, though? What's happening? What's cracking?
Ken Jack goes first. Go, Ken Jack. What's happening? What's your latest purchase? We're always buying stuff. What did we buy?
The last thing I bought was fabric softener because all of my laundry keeps coming out all wrinkly. And I was like, I didn't want this stuff to be a little bit softer. So I bought fabric softener and the first load just came out. Just took out my first load. You know what I mean? And I just like, it's so soft. It was all towels. And it's like, they're it's incredible. They're like towel. No, actually, no. I was about to say hotel quality. But I feel like every hotel towel I get is mostly bad. So they're very good towels, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, hotel towels aren't the best. They're always kind of prickly. You can feel the fibers in the towel. I don't use fabric softener. I'm not a fabric softener guy. We're not a fabric softener family.
Neither am I, but now I need to because everything's been coming out so fucking wrinkly that I have to like steam my clothes every morning before I go to work. It sucks. So just trying to like get rid of a little bit of a procedure. I also bought like a spice thing, which is kind of cool.
What's your guys' detergent? What detergents do you guys use?
I do use Tide Pods, to be honest. They're just easy. It's easier than having to fill up the cup and put it into the washer.
I use the all clear and natural, the scentless, odorless one.
Why did you want no scent?
I don't know. Because it still smells clean. It doesn't smell like anything, but it smells clean. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it smells like, you know, like that scent you can buy, like fresh laundry. You can buy that like for like a candle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what laundry smells like before you get the added scent.
Yeah, that in like itself is a scent, though, right?
In a sense,
no pun intended.
But I don't need to add a second. I don't need to add a secondary supplemental scent to this laundry I'm doing.
There's always three scents. There's the fabric softener. Now there's the dryer sheet. I don't use
dryer sheets.
What the fuck? Oh, dude? Come what are you on. Wearing? What are you wearing? Rags?
You got to pull your fucking your socks apart all static.
I never have a problem. I never have a static problem. I don't know what it is, but I never
you got
have,
that static it, free laundry. You
well, crazy. I'm sorry. I don't wash my socks with my windbreakers. Like
I don't either. I separate. I still separate laundry properly.
Miss Bones is like, why are all these socks stuck together? And Joel's like, oh, it's definitely because we don't use dryer sheets. That's definitely the problem here.
The only time it really gets bad is when like I have a bunch of Lifesaver wrappers in my pocket, you know, from just popping the individual window greens, and then those will kind of come out making it a little staticky. But normally I don't have issues with static electricity.
Just something about dryer sheets, man. Just makes everything better. Got to throw them in. And it adds a supplemental scent to your laundry, which is good.
I don't like scents. I just like stuff smelling fresh. Not like, I don't know. I mean, I don't mind a scent, like a nice Tide scent. Tide's a good smell. They have something good going there. They're not going to mess it up. They're not going to do what Coca-Cola does and pull Tide off the market and say, this is Tide 2.
Yeah, new Tide. Tide Zero. Ugh, gross. I think of you said another one too. What's the one with the bears? What's
Charmin?
That brand? Charmin. No,
that's toilet paper.
No. The brand of the bears. Downy.
But that's a fabric softener.
Yeah, that's the one I just got.
No, it's Snuggle Bear. It's Snuggle Bear, but he Snuggle Bear is a shill for Downy.
Yeah.
It's Downy Bear. It is Snuggle brand, I guess, or Downy brand Snuggle. I don't know. This is very confusing. But that's the one I got, and it works very well. I'll credit to them.
He has Paddington energy to him.
He does. He's got very tiny, beady little eyes, though. His eyes are not way too small for his head.
He can't see much now.
Got to fix that.
No, wait. No, it is Snuggle.
Yeah, it's Snuggle. Snuggle.
Yeah, it's not Downy. Snuggle. It's its own brand.
There's other sets of bears on detergent, I feel like.
Well, I feel like the branding of Snuggle is also blue and white, which is the same color branding as Charmin, which is why mixed up, you know. Bear brands.
I like the brand. Snuggle Bear. I think they really knocked it out of the park with Snuggle Bear.
Yeah,
he's pretty cute. She's pretty cute.
There's an ad read where he said it's a he. I would know because he was oddly at my show. Like we had it like one day. We were like, hey, the weather report.
He shows up with a big posse.
Meteorologist.
He's the most difficult person to ever come in Good Morning America.
Yeah, right after Chewbacca Mom. They're like, hey, Ginger's going to be with the Snuggle Bear. I was like, what? Like, yeah, it's going to be puppeteered. Like, he's going to be here.
I remember they always had the Snuggle Bear sitting in the laundry basket. Easy hide for the puppeteer there.
Mm. Yes. You know, the Snuggle Bear, his one of his catchphrases seemed to be?
Oh, it's all fuck. This shit's up.
He says you can smell the big snifference.
I don't like that one. Gotta bring that one back to the workshop, Snuggle.
Do you guys have like in unit laundry or do you go to laundromats?
This is my first time having in unit laundry and it's awesome. So much better after 5 years of no in unit laundry.
Downy has those unstoppable scent boosters that
I use those too.
Well, the container looks like those sport waters. You know what I'm talking about? Like a Mio or something like that.
It looks
like
I hate Mio.
Like a big version of that. I'm sending you the picture of the group chat. But it looks like something you find in the hydration section.
This? You're looking at it right now on the screen?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the little beads. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's some ASMR for you.
I just think there's this universal agreed upon marketing deal to make laundry detergent seem appetizing.
Mm. Well, I mean, they work. I'll give them that. They definitely are a better scent than even the best of Tide Pods. And they're in French underneath it. This is Downy Unstoppables. It says fresh, but also frost or frace. I don't know how you pronounce it. But
I'm always worried they're going to stain my clothes.
That they just like dissolve.
Little beads?
Nothing.
Yeah, but I know sometimes those things like the Tide Pods, you know, if you don't put them on warm water and the water's too cold, they don't like, you ever got those pods that are half dissolved and they stick to your clothes and then you get a concentration of detergent?
It's not ruined, but it's like not a good, it's not good.
Sometimes I've been able to like get it out. I remember I used to have a washing machine or a dryer that left little grease stains on my clothes. I could not get those out. I had to get a new unit. But I don't like the concentrations of detergent. They're just like the spots that look very saturated with soap spots.
So when I was in college, all of my going out shirts, like every morning I would wake up and my going out shirt would have two stains on it, right on both, one on each shoulder. It's like this little tiny like streak. It's really just jet black, greasy streak. And I was like, how the fuck is this happening? All of my going out clothes have the same exact stain. And I realized after the fact, like years later, is because while going downtown to get to bars from college, I would piss between the train cars. And I would be bumping between the actual greasy, disgusting exteriors while the car was running. And every one of my going out shirts got stained by doing that.
You don't seem like a real piss between the train cars.
Oh, my God. There's just gallons of my piss.
Well, no, Jeff would never do that. Jeff's too that feel like that would freak Jeff out. Like it's too grimy.
It's disgusting. Between
Where are you peeing?
So it was like, and this is on the one train going downtown, and like I would go in between the train cars. You close the door, like you could open it up and go in between the actual cars. And there's just like this little space. It's like a little platform. And I would stand sideways facing the railing sort of while the car was in motion, just piss right off the side, right into the tunnel. And
that's insane.
And we would do this. Like this wasn't just me. It was every drunk as shit pregame too much guy.
I mean,
I was there, and we would do it.
I've had my moments downtown. I mean, you know, well, look, guys. Let's be honest with our listeners here. I've thrown back some drinks now and then in my days. I've gone out on Sixth Street in Austin. I've had a couple public pisses in my day. Not in the middle of two subway cars, though. That's insane.
Let me note, this isn't like at like 5 p.m. This is like at like 11:30.
Yeah, but it's
not that late.
Okay, but it's later. It's not like there's like kids coming back from school. Prime or time. In the car.
Oh, okay. Like, okay. No, you're just straddling the line. You're trying to get over to the decent side. Like it's gross, but at least
you're not even supposed to walk through those two doors.
Yeah.
When the train's moving.
Here's the thing is that it would always be like, you know, once you open the seal, right? When you're pre-gaming, it's like you're just going to be pissing nonstop. Just how it works. But like the way I went to Manhattan College, they're the last stop on the one train. It's 242nd Street. They're like, you're the only people on the train for like the first like five or six stops. And that would always be, that's piss time. That was piss time for me. And then I didn't have to pee again until I had to go to the bar.
That's crazy.
And it was, again, that part wasn't the bad part. A couple of my friends got like, I think, in trouble for that too, busted for whatever by cops that were on the trains. But like I got just those stains on those going out shirts, and all of them are ruined forever. There was not any amount of laundering I could do to get those stains out. So it was just like a nonstop cycle of just ruining going out shirts, which I liked. Which were
stunned by that.
I think Trode, can you guess what type of, this is 2012 ish. What do you think my going out shirt was?
2012-ish? Was it the gingham, like, J. Crew deal that everyone had?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Croft and Barrow, Kohl's, yeah. Flannel.
And the shittiest flannels you've ever seen.
There was this place called Scrap, and I think it was Hoffman Estates, Illinois. And I seem to remember it was a skate park off to the side of, like, a general, like, indoor recreation complex. So they had, like, indoor soccer fields. And there was also this arcade unit in there. And one time we were waiting and we were 12 and we were doing the aggressive rollerblading in there because that's what we did. We went to the skate park and rollerbladed and did the ramps and stuff. This was a lot cooler back in 1996. But we were playing in the arcade and like I put a dollar in one of the token machines. And the token machine was off to this room to the right. It was like a darker room and it wasn't part of the main arcade. And this comes in a little later in the story. But I put a dollar in and like I kind of heard the coins come down. I didn't really look down there. So they came out and I put my hand down there and it was wet. And I pulled the coins out of this wet, what was a puddle of pee? It was pee. I'm guessing one of the rowdy fellow skater, aggressive rollerblade use had peed into like the little, you know, because it's like a well, right? When the coins come down, it's a bowl in there. They peed into that. I put my hand in there and then, like immediately I kind of knew like there was no reason for this to be wet other than pee, but then I smelled it and it was definitely pee.
Man, that confirmation must have been rough. Why do you keep saying aggressive rollerbladers too? That made that story so much better, actually.
No, it's called aggressive inline skating. That's the name of like the sport, like in the X Games. It's called rollerblading because that's a brand name. You can't just say rollerblading. The rollerblade doesn't want you to do that because that means if they did that, they'd lose their trademark, the whole Kleenex thing. So even they call it inline skating, but it's the aggressive version where you do grinds. And
it would be makes the Olympics. It's what it is.
I don't think it's ever going to get huge, but I think there will be like a semi-ironic comeback of rollerblading if it hasn't started already. And
I think if it joined the Olympics, it would just be skating, because ice skating is ice skating. Ice hockey is ice hockey. And then in the Olympics, field hockey is just hockey.
Wheel skating.
This is a recent story. I was at a bar and I was waiting in line at a bar. It was just me for the bathroom. And this guy walked out just laughing his ass off. I walked in there, and you know how sometimes they have all the toilet paper stacked neatly in like a bin? I looked over, it is drenched in urine. He had peed over the entire, which is so gross. It is so gross. And in hindsight, like, I'm not gonna go fucking narc on the guy. It's like, Jesus Christ, dude. He clearly just pissed over all of the rolls of toilet paper and the wicker basket they were in.
I always worry about that with public toilet paper. When you see the crispy bacon toilet paper, you're like, is that dried? Is that dried after being peed on? I don't know. I don't know.
Fuck. All right. Anyway, it's piss talk. It was a lot of piss talk. Episode brought to you in part by American Giant. Fantastic clothes. Their CEO, Baird Winthrop, says, when you spend your time making clothes in the U.S., it caused you to think about the great American styles. This comes together pretty quickly. Blue jeans, flannel shirts, polar sweatshirts, sweatpants, all that. But the T-shirt is at the top for them. That's what American Giant has. Custom non-see-through heavyweight slub fabric has rich, varied texture combined with a tailored fit. Incomparable to other slub T-shirts in the market, too. American Giant, they'll make sure that your style is fantastic. I bought a couple. I'm going to a wedding. I already talked about this fit. Bought a couple things from American Giant as well for that weekend. Going to test them out. Going to try them out. Some new stuff from them. And I already own their T-shirts as well. American Giant's outstanding. Made right here in the USA. Quality shit, too. Made in L.A. How about that? Very Hollywood of them.
City of Angels.
Their slub fabric holds color incredibly well. Rich, varied texture. Unique look, hold it shape together, wash and wear time after time. Get your new favorite T-shirts, folks, and much more, which is what I did. I got the much more at American, AmericanGiant. Come on, I spell that. -Giant.com today and use promo code LIGHTS for 15% off your first order. 15% off your first order, American-Giant.com/LIGHTS. News.
I like Marvel's. I'm on the About Us section, and I like their mission statement where they're just like, we hated the clothes before, so we made our own. Because that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
What would the Joe Collins line look like?
It would be like, everything would have like a 42 chest, but like a 31 sleeve length.
And you'd make Cho jeans, like the ones we've been begging for.
It would be like an untucked shirt that you can tuck in.
All of mine would be actually a size up, but I wouldn't tell the customer that. So like you'd order a large and it would come in XL. That way you feel better about yourself. I think that's a good business plan and I stand by.
I miss that. Okay, go ahead, Jeff. I can rant about clothes all day.
I just opened up a bottle or a mason jar full of duck fat and it got all over my hands. And it was disgusting.
Eating duck fat with your fingers?
No, like, dude, stupid. I had to open up the jar and it was just, it's just all over my hands still. I got to go wash them. I got to go.
Oh, you're going to go wash your hands. All right. Well, we can carry on without him for now. What did you watch Marvel's What If yet, Trill?
No, not yet. I'm sorry, but how was it?
No, I don't apologize. I'm not Kevin Feige. Very enjoyable. Ken Jeck did not like the animation style, though. The Peggy Carter one was the first one. I liked it. I liked the animation style. Ken Jeck, though, washed the duck fat off his hands. You did not like the What If animation style.
No, it reminded me, and maybe, Trill, you can back me up on this, is that it reminded me almost of like the shitty animes that try to do that sort of style. where like they'll convert from like a more traditional hand-drawn looking animation to that. Like, and that to me is just, I knew it was going to look like, cause we saw the trailers and everything, but I'm like, I don't know. It'll maybe it'll look better once it's all like finished up or when it's all whatever rendered, quote unquote. And I didn't totally love it. I didn't totally love the animation style. I like the story. I like how they put everything together. It's just that style is just not really for me, but we'll see as it goes on, if that gets better for me personally.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. It's a cool series. I can get into this type of thing. I am curious what the numbers are going to be on this. I'm not sure they'll say it. They're going to have a drop off from Loki. Like, that goes without saying, right? Like, that's just, that is how it is. Like, you just have to imagine that's the case. With that said, you know, people need to try something different. They need to look at something different. So hopefully the Marvelness appeals to people. But I think it's a fun first episode. Ken Jack and I got the screeners. We blew it. We could have watched the first three. We didn't do it.
It was so fucked up, though, because like they sent us a screener and they're like, yeah, here, you got access to the screener starting XYZ day. But they write in like the fine print underneath it is like, you'll only have access for 48 hours. And it was started on Thursday or something. And I don't know, just not used to working out that way. So I went to go log in and watch the screeners on Monday. And it was just they just weren't there. And I was like, oh, that's a huge bummer. It's what it is.
We are, though. We're going to see Shang-Chi on Tuesday.
We are. You, me, and Robbie Fox.
Can't fucking wait.
I know. Me
cannot
too.
Wait.
Ooh, you know what the animation style reminded me of is Eerie the Witch. And then that might not be fair. It wasn't that bad, but that's what it reminded me of, especially the way the actual motion of the people worked.
It did look stiff. Ugh. It's that cell shaded look. Mm. When done right, can look really good.
Like the Scanner Darkly.
Well, that was the rotoscope thing, right?
Yeah,
they actually animate over actors. No, Earwig was just bad because they did the Miyazaki, the Ghibli house style in 3D and obvious 3D CG, whatever you want to call it. Just didn't have the charm. Didn't have the juice. Wasn't there?
Didn't have it.
So moving on.
What was just the Peggy Carter What If released?
Yeah, Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. I enjoyed it.
I've been working through some other things. I've been doing the White Lotus run, speed run, White Lotus.
Cool. We interviewed Steve Zahn about. Prisoners of the Ghostland. A notorious criminal hero, Nick Cage, is sent to rescue the governor's daughter who has disappeared into a dark supernatural universe. To escape the nightmare world, hero must break the evil curse controlling the mysterious Ghostland. Coming out video on demand September 17, 2021, this year. Nick Cage, Pig, pretty fucking good. Sophia Boutella is also in it. You recognize her from a bunch of things. For me, the thing that always pops up is Kingsman.
The Blade Feet.
Yeah, the Blade Feet. But yeah, that comes out. I mean, Cage is in a good spot right now where things that are catered to kind of what you want from him have been good. So I don't know. What did you think of the trailer, Ken Jack?
Yeah, I think Cage just kind of does everything. Like, that's the kind of the joke, right? Is like he doesn't decline a role. I don't think this is going to be like Pig or anything like that, but I think it's going to be exactly what we want out of this type of movie with Nick Cage. And seeing what's his name, Owen Wilson, was bizarre. That was Owen Wilson. I'm not going crazy here. That was the cowboy in the hat.
I don't think that was Owen Wilson.
Who was? Oh, let me look it up. Because he had the delivery of Owen Wilson doing a cowboy accent, but I wasn't so sure.
Was it Ed Skrein?
No, it was the old guy.
Nick Cassavetes?
Oh. Okay. Yep. Nick.
Bill Moseley? I don't know who it was. I watched the trailer. I don't know.
John Q. Troy, you love John Q.
John Q, great movie.
That was
Eve Montrage, right?
Was it?
Yeah, he was one of the surgeons or something.
I know I watched it. I don't remember it.
It's the one where Denzel like holds up the hospital hostage to get his son a new heart.
Yeah, I remember John Q now.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I like John Q a lot.
In my head, I was trying to go back to Johnny Mnemonic.
Because did you think of Scanner Darkly?
Mnemonic, yeah. This looks a lot like the Willy's Wonderland. Not like exactly like it, but it's similar vibes to that.
Boys Wonderland, I did not like that much in second watch. I think I wanted a fun movie with Nick Cage, and I got it, and then I rewatched it because, like, did I like this? And then I realized, not that much.
I liked it, but he didn't talk enough in that. And I just say, like,
almost at all.
Yeah, there's a maybe not a whole lot of Willy's Wonderland in this one, but I think general vibe in terms of it just being like, okay, Mr. Cage, we paid you a lot of money to be here, so just fucking knock yourself out, just go nuts.
Yeah, that's his thing though. That, and I think you say that every single time Nick Cage does anything. Is at least like my thing with Cage is like, no matter what the role is, if it's the shittiest movie in the world that he's doing for like a Jiffy Lube coupon or whatever, or if like a giant blockbuster, doesn't matter. He gives the same amount of effort, which is 110%. And that is something I'll always and forever respect about Nick Cage.
What all does Nicolas Cage collect?
What do you mean?
Isn't like he like a prolific collector of
like random like shit,
Elvis memorabilia and stuff? Oh no, he was a dinosaur skull guy.
Yeah, he had to return the dinosaur skull to Mongolia, if I remember correctly. Like, it was a big international thing. I wonder, is there an actual Nicolas Cage collection, like of like Nicolas Cage movies, where it's just like, you know, the double feature of Walmart or whatever? It's just that, but it's like 50 Nick Cage movies. Because I would buy the hell out of that.
No, Target, you know how Target does those collaborations? They should do one with Nick Cage, except like it's just like a cooler full of like chicken drumsticks and just the shit he likes in the store. It's
not
a new product. It's just like Nick Cage walked through a Target and picked the stuff he liked just on an aesthetic level and put it at the front of the store.
Nick Cage says he only eats meat from animals that mate in a dignified manner. This precludes him from eating pork. All right, well, now we know what to do.
He definitely doesn't eat panda meat because the shit they make the pandas go through, not dignified at all.
No, that's the industrialized sex, and that's fucked up for our poor panda brethren stuck in cages.
12 absurd things Nicolas Cage actually bought. 2 albino king cobras, a Gulfstream jet, which isn't that absurd.
That's not absurd at all.
The first Superman comic. That doesn't, knowing what we know about Nick Cage.
That's like low end of the spectrum here.
The skull, an octopus, a shark, a crocodile, a private island. A haunted murder mansion in the Shah of Iran's.
This sounds like these are the things in my Jeep from Popstar.
These are the things in my Jeep.
I didn't have any things. I didn't have any of those things in my Jeep. I couldn't relate. Yeah. Those sound like things Nick Cage would buy.
Yeah, none of that's crazy shocking, but I do have a particular fondness for the dinosaur skull that he had to return, which is very funny.
I guess Leonardo DiCaprio is a big dinosaur collector too, like bone collector, bones guy.
John C. Reilly collects clown paintings. Like he has a literal room dedicated to clown paintings, which is bizarre.
That's not that shocking.
Like only John C. Reilly could do that and have that be endearing. Right.
Yeah.
Like when John C. Reilly does that, you're like, oh, that's cool. If I did that, you'd think I was a freak.
An absolute psychopath. But it's just like, oh, yeah, John C. Reilly. So that just makes sense. There's someone else too. The word has like
Brendan Fraser could do that. And I would think that was cool.
Yeah. Like he goes around from like flea market to flea market collecting clown paintings. And I'd be like, that's awesome. But then like if Jay Leno had a clown painting like room next to his like, fuck you, weirdo.
Idiot. Fucking weirdo idiot.
With his dumb cars. He definitely has triples of the Nova, doesn't he, Trill? Right, Trill?
What's that?
He definitely has triples of the Nova, right? Leno?
Gotta have triples.
Triples is best.
His dumb cars. His cars are dumb.
Comedians and cars getting coffee.
No. This episode brought to you in part by Upstart. Folks, Upstart is a fast and easy way to pay off your debt. Do you know that? Personal loan, all online. Paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, funding personal expenses. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get one. Fixed monthly, perfect payment for you. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score too, so expanding access to affordable credit. Unlike some of the other lenders, which if you've ever done these, you know, pain in the ass. Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. 5-minute online rate check. See your rate up front. Loans between $1,000 to $50,000. You can receive funds as fast as one business day, too, after accepting your loan. So go find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today. Go to Upstart, UPSTART.com/lights. That's Upstart.com/lights. Thank you to Upstart for sponsoring. Upstart's fantastic. Very easy to use. Seen it in action. It's absolutely fantastic. Easier than all the other competitors. It's great. Upstart.com/lights. moving on. Not much news today. Margot Robbie will be... she has been. She's been cast in Wes Anderson's next movie, which is a weird thing to say because his next movie's not out yet. So it's his next movie. She'll be alongside Tom Hanks, Tilda Swinton, Bill Murray, and Adrian Brody. So it's like Tom Hanks and a bunch of other people that are always in his movies. Sure. Yeah, this will be good, right? It should be good.
It's funny watching the manifestation of it, right? Because it was she had said that she's like, oh, I'd love to be in a movie with Tom Hanks and directed by Wes Anderson, and then it just happens. It's cool.
What's the movie about?
I don't think we know. Is it animated?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
I feel like it's anime.
He's due for another one. It just says untitled. It doesn't really say what it is.
Can you imagine the food sequence that would come from a Wes Anderson Studio G crossover movie? It would be the most delicious looking food you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That's like a natural marriage too. That should happen.
I mean, his like food, like a food sequence in the movie.
Yeah, well, specifically a crossover, like a Wes Anderson doing a Studio G movie, properly animated by Studio G, not fucking Earwig and the Witch bullshit, like actual, real shit. I'm talking right here.
It's hard to really hype up how bad Earwig and the Witch was.
It was horrible, man. Good lord. But it just elevates how much better the other Studio G movies were. Go watch Ponyo Troll. I know you're a big fan.
Is there another Studio G movie that you would call bad?
Yeah. There's I think it was the one also that Goro Miyazaki also worked on.
That was the one which starts with Gordon Levitt, right?
I think it was called Tales from the Earthsea.
No, Tales from Earthsea was...
Is that good?
Okay, so which one am I phrasing here? There's the one that they did with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I believe, is directed by Goro. And that one I didn't like too much.
Got it.
I remember the right one.
During a private screening prior to release of the film, Tales from the Earthsea, Goro's father was asked how he thought of the film. He said, I was looking at my kid. He's not an adult yet. That is all.
Okay, yeah, it is. Okay, it is Tales from Earthsea. I was thinking Nausicaa when, like, in my brain, I just associate the pictures, the posters wrong.
Nausicaa is a certified fresh.
That was an early one.
I don't think Joseph Gordon-Levitt liked this all that much. I just don't think he really cared for us all that much.
Yeah,
which is fine. Which I mean, like, we're not. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's okay.
That's not the one.
Didn't get the sense he was like those guys. Those guys were fun.
You know what?
Because I want my day to be over already.
They can't all be Zahn bangers.
No, they can't.
Are you caught up on White Lotus, Trill?
Yes.
Me too. I'm excited for this last episode.
It's a great show. You know, I was complaining a few weeks ago about not having the HBO show, and I feel like the HBO show is back.
Mm-hmm. It's very funny.
HBO show right now. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, was he in Tales from the Earthsea?
No, you know what? It was the one crossed the wires here. The one I was thinking of was the plane one, which was The Wind Rises.
The Wind Rises. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have a lot of movies that are bad is the point here. Pom Poko. That's another one. That's the raccoon one.
No, the Rotten Tomatoes for like even Tales of the Earthsea is like 43%. And then the Earwig and the Witch is 30%, and then the next lowest one is like 78%. That's my neighbor's the Yamadas.
No, it's so good. I feel like we talk about this one a decent amount when we talk about Studio G. It's this Tale of Princess Kaguya, the one with like the watercolors. That one is awesome. That was a great movie.
That's one I've seen.
That one's beautiful. Good lord.
What's our lowest rated Studio G movie? Well,
it's Earwig and the Witch.
It's Earwig and the Witch for sure.
But after that, it's Tales from Earthsea. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to hear about the tales. We want to hear about the actual Earthsea.
I
want the made up, fabricated stories. Just give me the facts.
Spirited Away is highest, then Princess Mononoke, then The Wind Rises, then My Neighbor Totoro. And rounding out the top five is Howl's Moving Castle.
Why did I think that Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in Tales from Earthsea? That's like not even right in the same period. Damn.
I'm not, you know what? I'm not judging you any less because of it. I wouldn't have even known. I didn't.
Why doesn't like us?
Yeah, that son of a bitch.
That fucking guy knew. And then last bit of news here I want to discuss. Taika Waititi also talked about a Star Wars movie a bit, but there's not a lot on it. He said Thor is going to be a love story. He's already said, he said they're going to do the Akira live action adaptation still. Leo will produce. We've talked about this so many times without like any substance. I'm just going to note that off the top. Shout out to Taika Waititi. Mm-hmm. Awesome little role in Suicide Squad too. Just kind of comes out of nowhere.
He, by the way, he has a new show on Hulu called Reservation Dogs. It's awesome.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out yet.
It's very, very good so far.
Yeah, I believe it. Believe that. Idris Elba voicing Knuckles in the upcoming Sonic sequel. Trail thoughts.
It's I mean, honestly, it sounds like a fan casting. It's such a big name for Knuckles.
Have you seen the fan art casting that went around the Twitter sphere?
No. Well, fan art?
Oh, just wait.
Oh, no.
Oh, just wait.
I don't know, but I love it. I love, like, big names being added to the Sonic the Hedgehog project.
That was, I think, we talked about this when Sonic came out, too. Like, that was just such a pleasant surprise, because we thought that was going to be dog shit, especially after the redo of the design and all that. It was really fucking good. This picture's so funny.
Oh no. Oh no, no.
It's just Idris Elba merged with Knuckles. I think Boss Logic did it. It's terrible. It's horrifying.
Knuckles is just wearing a pea coat.
He's not even impregnated. This is a terrible fan art.
Yeah, it's not Sonic with a tiny person on his foot.
The Empreg Knuckles and Sonic art is so fucking funny, man. It'll always get a laugh out of me, and I can't help myself.
Well, the funny part about this is this came out of left field, right? And it was just only confirmed because Elba himself just posted a picture of the Knuckles hand on Twitter.
Yeah,
that was the announcement. That's the way to go.
Yeah, it is. That is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Great. I wonder how that works. If they're like, we're gonna tell all the outlets at the same time you blast out this little picture we're going to send you. I wonder how that works out for the
Tails. Tails is in this one too.
He was in the tease at the end of the last one, right?
Who's voicing Tails? Is it Woody Harrelson? Is he doing Carnage and Tails? Is big yes. Tease character guy?
That's the big two. That's what they say. Tails, TBA.
Who would be a good voice for Tails?
Who's another like fan casting in this case? You know what I mean? Like one where it's just like The Rock is going to be Tails.
I think Tails would be Kristen Bell.
You think so?
I think Kristen Chenoweth.
There's a singing moment in this. Yes,
Kristen Chenoweth. Yes.
Throw Henry Cavill in here. Make him
for Tails.
Why not?
You need a little higher pitched voice.
Yeah, Tails has got to have a higher pitched voice.
Hey, dude, Sonic had a voice by Joe Keery. No, it wasn't Joe Keery. It was Ben Schwartz. Bad brain day for actors.
And Ben Schwartz was perfect as Sonic.
Oh, so good. So make Ron Perlman voice.
Hey, it's me. I'm Sonic. That's my impression.
Do Vin Diesel doing Sonic?
No.
Got to go fast.
I mean, I like how that joke carries over to the Fast franchise too.
Yeah, you got there. It took you a second, but you got there. I wonder how they do the Jim Carrey like reintroduction, because his character is supposed to have gotten a lot older in the whatever the realm he got sent to, right?
Well, maybe they just make him look more like the video game robot?
He did at the end of the last one. Remember,
like I mean, just like. You know, make him larger, like the.
Oh, okay. They gave him like a fat suit. I know what you're saying. Okay, yeah. Well, I could see them definitely doing that. I'm curious how they're going to reintroduce him. And another big thing I think for this too is if, like, I think they're going to try and bring this into the Sonic world as opposed to being too much in the human world like the last one was. And that could potentially be a disaster because, like, once you get into the overtly too much CGI world, it could get very dicey very fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm excited. Where's the Crash Bandicoot movie?
Who would voice Crash Bandicoot?
I don't even know. Honestly, I couldn't tell you what his voice
sounds
like.
Does he have a voice in the video games? And if he does, he has to be Australian, right?
I forget. He did have a voice, right?
He's got to have a voice. I mean, the games have been going on so long. He's had to have a voice at some point.
I'm not sure if he's one of those guys that just made noises.
Like a Tasmanian devil? Like the character he's not inspired by?
Yeah, like, what do you call it? Donnie from the Wild Thornberrys. He's like, whatever.
Oh,
I wish KB was here to do that.
Crash Bandicoot franchise behind the voice actors.
It might just be a guy doing grunts and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe Crash doesn't speak.
The leader of the Crash Bandicoot Reddit right now is listening and he's furious.
Probably doesn't speak. You might be right. He might be a character that's just better off, not having a spoken voice part.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Hello, I'm Crash Bandicoot. Is that
James Gordon as Crash Bandicoot?
Completely ruins it. No, but just pretend it was an Australian accent.
Okay. All right.
Oh, there it is, Ken Jack. Ken Jack just sent the Crash Bandicoot pregnant picture, which it looks like his mouth.
It does. I mean, we're gonna post both of these.
It's so funny. Why does anyone make this?
The funny thing about like all the like impreg fan art is that they're literally just the characters, but there's no weight gain anywhere else except
no. No, it's just a lack of understanding of pregnancy.
Yeah, just a general lack of what it means to go through the physical transformation of. That one's odd. That one's actually. Okay, that one.
That's the worst one. I'm so sorry for hearing that. It's so bad. So for those of you listening, I found a picture of pregnant Stan from Stan Marsh from South Park, and like they really went into detail. They gave him the stretch marks. Like, this is a proper MPreg to our point earlier. Like, they gave him stretch marks, like his thighs got thickened up, but like his body looks like a regularly drawn adult male from like an adult cartoon, like fucking Batman or Invincible or something, but like he just has Stan Marsh's face still, the exact same animation for his face. It is so fucking funny. Oh my god.
It loses its charm the more realistic it gets, though. Like, it's funny when it's a shittily drawn MS Paint Crash Bandicoot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But you know what? It's not my thing. I'm not going to hate on it.
No, neither
am I. It's not for me. It's not for me to judge.
No, people up there like that. It's fine with me.
Oh, my God. That just ruined my day.
It's a very tasteful background. It's like very artistic.
Yeah, they didn't. Like
you're strolling through the Met, and you catch this.
I think I would stop for
and
sure
and admire it.
Yeah.
pregnant Crash Bandicoot is just a whole other.
This is late era Cartman fan 69. One of his better eras of this particular genre of MS Paint.
It's impressive, I gotta say. I couldn't draw that.
I do appreciate that we were saying that this art is typically very unrealistic, and then you sent one that is just bathed in realism.
Mm-hmm.
You replied to the LCB tweet of Crash Bandicoot and Knuckles with that picture. Okay, so if you want to see the picture, you can go. Oh my god,
it's got one fave, Chris Castellani.
That's our guy.
It's not distasteful. It's just more realistic.
Yeah, no, it is. It's just spot on.
It's too realistic is the problem.
Oh, my God.
And Chris just replies, I can't unsee this. That's funny.
Well, it reminds me of that meme. You know that meme of the guy like laughing and slapping the table and wheezing?
Yeah.
Reminds me of that. It's like the definition.
Yeah. Just, there's too many details.
We are at the art gallery right now with this shit. I'm just diving into it. We got to move on. Yeah. I'm going to lose my mind.
Okay. This episode brought to you in part as well, folks, by 3Chi. 3Chi's outstanding. Fantastic stuff. Make sure, give the edibles a shot as well. It's never in their ad read copy. I don't understand that. 3Chi's, what are they rocking right now on their website? I haven't had to order anything in a while from there. Let's shop all edibles. So this is a live look. Delta 8 THC gummies. Delta 8 THC comfortably numb gummies. Delta 8 balls. Oh, are those? Are these like Skittles? What are these?
I don't know. Is that in the new crop? I haven't seen the newest additions that they've had.
Are these like Skittles?
They have pictures?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm going to find out.
I'm going to go to the website. They're getting a unique page view from me right now.
Me too.
Yeah. Candy balls. Candy. This is their version of like sours. These I got to fucking get.
Well, now I'm going to add it to my
draft. Delta 8 balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. They look like little sixlet. Well, they look like Skittles.
I think they're Skittles.
Or yeah. the candy known as. They look like.
Those are Skittles.
Tell me that brownie doesn't look good, Trill.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's gooey. It's very gooey. The cookie's fantastic. The cookie has so many fucking chocolate chips in it.
And it's federally legal, which some would say was the best part about them.
Yeah. So yeah, order from 3Chi right now. The number three, CHI, industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. All products formulated by a biochemist, made in the USA, USA grown hemp, all that. 3Chi's Delta 8 is a federally legal version of THC, more functional alternative to marijuana. And you get an amazing buzz and great body feel with a clear head and less anxiety and paranoia. All online at the number 3chi.com. 3Chi, 3chi.com. Monthly 21 to purchase. Remember, it's not CBD, it's psychoactive. It'll give you a buzz. Use it responsibly. It's not CBD. 3chi.com to shop for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, oils, all that. You can make your own homemade edibles or just get theirs. They're probably better than you are at it. If you're like Gordon Ramsay listening, Christina Tosi from Milk Bar, use code CAMERA, CAMERA, at checkout for 5% off your order.
Their website, though, the main page has this like, I guess it's the raw material. And it's hypnotic.
Mm-hmm. I can't stop watching it. It's on like a loop.
I can't stop watching to see that. I might watch just the rest of the podcast.
When does it loop? Oh, there
it loops. You can see a cut.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's okay. Gorgeous.
Yeah. It's very crystalline.
That's our ad to go to the website. That's a whole, which was a separate ad from our actual ad for the products.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I guess we're going to talk about the kissing booth.
Three.
We have to. Yeah.
Three. I mean, look, so have you guys watched all of them? Have you seen them all?
I've forgotten everything about them. And I realized that very quickly when I was like 5 minutes into the movie that I was like, I think the Joel Courtney character is the guy who liked her, but then she actually fell in love with
his brother.
Her, mm. Yeah, his himbo.
I'm like 90% sure.
Yeah. So well, that was it, because that was like, I remember the kissing booth one at least kind of like, it got rid of the convention in movies where usually like the character has to settle for like the less hot guy because he's like a nicer guy or whatever. But this movie was just like, she's gonna get the himbo and the nice guy. There's no settling. And I think that was cool.
First one, she gets her guy. Second one, they have a long distance relationship. I am now, this is completely off the top of my head. I don't remember if this is true. Long distance relationship. He goes to college. I think he meets another girl, maybe?
No, maybe? He doesn't go to college.
Oh, no, goes to college.
Harvard, no?
Did he go to Harvard? Or
he's the older brother, because
she was going to meet him at Harvard. Yeah, but yeah, yeah. There was another girl that was like a British girl, remember? And they were like, you know, there's some jealousy there and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's in this one too. Yeah, it all connects.
Yeah. So.
Oh yeah, she is in this one. That's right. That's the same. So I see. That's how quickly I forget it.
In the second one, we figure out that there's a long distance relationship, and she's friends with the guy's brother, and the guy's brother tries to convince her to go with this guy, Marco.
Marco.
Who's
in this one?
By the way, is like the most beautiful person who's ever lived.
He's hot.
He's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. Also, I got to say this too. Molly Ringwald, we got to get this off your resume. We got to get these, like, in terms of like the rom-com resume that she has, this is page two. This needs to not be on there. Anyway, at the end of that movie, so she's now with the brother, Lee, which isn't that exactly what happens in, isn't that the exact opposite of the To All the Boys too?
It is eerily similar, but I think that's just a love triangle vibe to it.
Yeah, she gets with her sister's like boyfriend or something. Played by Noah Centineo.
He's very monotone in that movie. It was Centineo and then the other guy that got canceled off the face of the earth. And I think that was it. But I don't remember who else was in that.
The second one ends. She opens up a letter. She got to decide to go to Berkeley, follow her boy, or go to Harvard.
Okay, why in these movies is it always Harvard?
Yeah.
Like, why can't it ever just be like UCF or Toledo?
Like, yeah, right?
Like, I'm going to go to Toledo. And you know, just like, it's always Harvard. And I get it because Harvard's Harvard. But come on, man. Harvard gets enough attention already.
Going to like Chapman. Don't make them go to fucking Harvard. It's always Harvard, Yale. It's like they're going to an Ivy. Or yeah, they're like, going to like a very famous school.
Yeah, it's like, am I going to follow Steve to Ball State this fall, or am I going to stay here and go to IUPUI? I don't know.
See, but that would be almost more compelling to me, is if she fucked up and made that much, like if she made the mistake of going to Harvard to follow the Avorti character, like whatever, you're still going to Harvard. But if you made that mistake and went to IUPI, like that, you fucked up. You know what I mean?
It's a fine school.
But it's not the same thing as going. And she's like, oh, well, what if I go to Harvard? And it turns out that he doesn't actually love me. It's like, well, you're still going to fucking Harvard, so it's not a big deal. You're not exactly the loser here, you know?
No, but it really doesn't matter, because this entire kissing booth cinematic universe is like, it is your joke in the group chat was the best. It is literally like if TikTok fused with The Sims 2.
Mm-hmm. Because especially, well, the reason I thought The Sims was because of the music. The music sounds like you're playing The Sims. It's doing like that weird, like auto-generated, like weird, bizarre Vine sound effect music. And like, it reminded me of, I don't know if you've ever seen these. Do you remember there was like that series of videos that got like, I think they shut them down because they realized they were like a Russian PSYOP thing or whatever. They were like kids videos. And they were like,
the generated ones on YouTube?
Yeah.
Like, where it would just be like Elsa and Spider-Man, and they'd be like killing Peppa Pig or whatever, and they're weird.
So they use music like that too. So that is the scary part. I think of when I was watching this, it was just like I all I could think about are those videos, and I can think of The Sims, and I'm thinking of TikTok, because this movie's a TikTok kid zoomer's dream, and it is just, it's not very good. I feel like we've unstructured this interview a little bit. Or unstructure this review a little bit, but I think my main point with The Kissing Booth 3 is that it's bad. It's real bad. And that it is extremely carried by Joey King, who I can't wait to get out of this world of garbage movies, because she has been, and we could probably pull up a Rotten Tomatoes history. She has been in so many bad movies. It is like improbable. It's so improbable. It's insane. It has to be like one of the worst runs of any actress in history. And she's not bad at acting, which is the tough part. Just every movie she's in is pure shit.
Well, the movie, it's funny because like you think about it, and like obviously the movie is not for me, a 37-year-old man. But you know, the intended audience is you know, it's a YA thing, so it probably does have a pretty broad audience. But like, regardless of who it's for, the writing and this sort of thing, and like I kept comparing it to like the shit I maybe watched when I was that age, and like all I kept coming back to is the fact that I thought American Pie was funny. And it feels like we just, you know, I don't know. So it's not the same the media, but like the writing. You remember the one scene in this where it was her and the Noah character, and then like she whispers in his ear, and then they go off to like, it's implied they're going off to like, you know,
fuck
Yeah, but then like the other characters are like, where are you guys going? It's just like, that's not how they're brother. That's weird, man. This is a weird situation. Like, if I was there in person, I would feel uncomfortable. And it just almost feels like, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't want to be too critical of it, but at the same time, like, you can't split hairs. It sucked. I mean, this isn't a good movie from a movie standpoint, but it's also not for me.
I think that is a good overarching point, just the fact that this is not a movie that is necessarily built for us. But at the same time, I think we can agree that it is objectively bad. And there's a couple things I want to note, to bring up the badness.
Well, let me tell the synopsis real quick.
Yeah, do that.
It's a summer before Elle heads to college. She has a secret decision to make. Elle has been accepted to Harvard, where her boyfriend Noah is, but like, he's not though.
What?
Like, isn't she? She's like, what? This synopsis doesn't line up at all with what this fucking movie does, right?
What did it say? Run it back one more time.
Where her boyfriend Noah is?
At Harvard. He's at Harvard.
He's at Harvard. And Lee's going to Berkeley.
Yeah.
And she's got to make a choice.
Lee is her age. Lee is her age. And they're deciding what colleges they want to go to. And he had already accepted to go to Berkeley.
Because you got to make a choice. It's either the person you love the most in this world, it's the person you love the second most.
Mm-hmm. The pedo and whatever the other guy's name was.
Gale.
Really? It was Gale?
Oh. Wasn't it Gale?
I think you're right. I forgot about that.
Well, I think Jeff's still trying to think through the synopsis.
Josh Hutcherson or Liam Hemsworth is the point.
So like she's she got into both colleges.
I don't
colleges.
Think I have this fucking story straight.
No, she got into both colleges and she's not like giving.
Jesus Christ. I just watched that whole fucking movie. I thought that.
What'd you confuse?
Man, I was like, this movie is fucking weird. I thought that was that guy's brother.
It is.
No, I thought, no. I thought Noah was another brother. Like, I thought.
What do you mean? Like a third Flynn child?
Yes. I just watched that whole fucking movie. And in my head, I'm like, God, that's fucking weird. That's weird. There's another Flynn brother, and this is the one she's with. I thought the kid was like, I thought she was dunzo with that guy.
No. Oh, I'm putting together your mistake. Okay. All right.
What the fuck? That makes so much
Jacob
more
Elordi
sense now.
Plays two characters in this movie. Like, it's a very Mike Myers type role.
I don't know why I thought, again, when I said that I had a very baseline understanding of this franchise, I was right. Like, I remember watching the last one. Wow. Okay. So I thought there was a third Flynn brother and she was with the third brother, but that just is Noah. And I realized that now because he said his name the whole fucking movie, but I was so confused.
That's
I forgot his property. Name was Noah. That was the first problem.
It's the property brother conundrum is the issue here.
Had I remembered going in that his name was Noah, I think I just got really fucking turned around in that movie. I was so confused. The movie's still dog shit, though.
Yeah, I think that's the...
Well, anyway, she's got to decide which college to go to. And that fucking Marco guy is back in the picture. Just
sexy as hell. He should have won this whole thing, by the way. Marco should have been the winner.
Anyway, now that
I've... Also another good casting, because I think the actor's like 29 and they're playing high school kids. Which, like, you got to do, or else it would be kind of creepy to, like, write this stuff and direct it, I think. But, I mean, it happens before, but it's not like this is a new phenomenon.
Yeah, I did like Marco, though. I can't stop thinking about Marco. He's like the perfect man.
Well, no, but everybody was too attractive in this movie is the problem. And I'm not from a weird standpoint, but just as in like, I don't know. It's like, it just feels like that's when it goes back to like TikTok. It just feels like a TikTok, very, I don't know.
Here,
I can't
finish up the synopsis first so we can get into it because we're so off base. So, Jeff, wrap up that synopsis.
Oh, I'm done with the synopsis.
Okay. So,
you got to make a decision. Marco's in the picture. They got a fucking shirt. They go back to the beach house. They're going to sell the beach house. One last summer, one last ride.
Yeah. Really relatable plot point of a beach house
that is like immaculate, which has been in that movie before. But yeah. So,
built-in stadium lighting too, which was kind of cool.
There was
when they had the party.
There's a lot of tension in that scene where they announced that they're selling the beach house. Like, this is a relatable feeling that everybody should like understand. Like when your boyfriend's parents announce that the beach house is getting sold. Oh no.
Some people don't even have beach houses. I've never been to one. It's crazy. The I'm looking at his, by the way, the guy who played Marco's Instagram now. It's gorgeous. Flawless human. But we're going back. I think something that really takes away from me watching this movie is the fact that Nathan Ivaldi, that's how you pronounce his last name. But I know him strictly mostly from, I would say, Euphoria, right? And in Euphoria, he is like a
Nathan Ivaldi.
Jacob Elordi.
No, that's Jacob Elordi.
The pitcher for the Red Sox?
Yeah.
we have no idea what's happening here.
This movie has collectively just thrown our brains into
the pun intended cosmic blender. Pun intended. Thrown in the blender. Okay, let me go back. My Jacob Elordi point. He watching him, all I could think about was this character in Euphoria who's so outrightly evil and disgusting, like creepy, and then he's supposed to be like the world's biggest nice guy here, and that to me is just now such a hard thing for me to get over, which is whatever. But also I want to add on to the fact that he didn't try in this movie at all. He didn't give a flying fuck about this movie, and this is not even one bit. The only person that cared was Joey King.
Yeah, but I think consummate professional, but this is everybody playing out their contract.
Yes, they signed up for 3 kissing booth movies. Okay, so the movie is awesome. Like there's many, I think, reasons behind it, like we were just all talking about. But I think the point that, or the one thing I wanted to get to that we were talking about the most was this, the ending of the movie, which at the end, they go their separate ways or whatever, and then they do this like a 6-year time jump.
Which is a very specific time jump. It's like it's approximately enough to get you through college and then law school for one of the characters.
Yes, but not for everyone else. And they did a 6-year time jump and everyone looks the same except Joey King, who they made cut off or whatever wig. But like they gave her this absurd haircut that makes her look like a hobbit. And they're like, yeah, this is how you know she's like an evolved professional that's actually 26 or 25, 26 years old, because she has zero hair. And it's like she's very young still, but she's dressed like a fucking like McDonald's manager. It's like she's just a very young person. She would just have a regular look and haircut. I don't get it.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm not trying to be cruel on that, but like obviously from a costume choice, it was designed to imply that, you know, she is a working professional or whatever. But it is funny, really, to me, only because this is the exact same thing you would expect this movie to do. Mm-hmm. Because this is what all these movies do, where this time jump happens and then all of a sudden we just give somebody different hair or glasses and now they're 24. But also you're trying to say like, look how grown up they are, but they're still only 24. Like, well, for me, it's only 24. I mean, it's an adult, obviously. The funniest part about me or about that was like Jacob Elordi shows up in this really nice suit, but he's wearing the Regis Philbin shirt and tie.
Yeah. Oh my god, dude.
He's got the 2000s Who Wants to Be a Millionaire like monochromatic vibe going on, which like he doesn't look like a lawyer. Like you think a lawyer and it's just like white shirt and just a blue tie and a navy blue suit or whatever. But yeah, they're trying to convey, you know, the end of this movie, that the characters have grown up and all that shit, and you have to think that's the end of the series. I mean, you're almost certain that's the end of the series. But the funny part for all this shit like that happens in this, it doesn't have like a satisfying ending.
Not at all.
You don't get this like big emotional reunion that of like the L and Noah character deserve, or like at least is implied by an arc of 3 movies. They just kind of see each other again after 6 years or whatever, and then they go ride some motorcycles like a Geico commercial.
It's true, though. You're completely correct.
Which you can get away with in like a real movie, like a movie that is maybe like too smart to really give you exactly what you want. But in terms of this movie, like this is not one of these movies. Like you want to see them like happy. That's the entire point of this kind of like YA stuff. It was just, it was a very weird ending choice, considering like everything else we've seen of like the ins and outs of these characters fighting about like going to Harvard and whatever.
Yeah. And again, there's so many bad things to call it in this movie, but another one there's, and like the whole base of the movie, right, is like beyond the trying to sure making the choice and all that. She's also trying to like reconnect with the brother who like they used to be bigger or more connected friends. And they're doing like all that shit from like the bucket list, right, of like that they had made back in when they were kids. And that bucket list was just full of like the, like whatever, regular outrageous stuff. But there's one thing in particular that stood out to me, and it was they did a flash mob in the middle of a restaurant where they all got up and sang get up and dance with me in front of like a giant crowd of old people, and they all started clapping for them. And that part to me, like there's many parts where I was lost on this, that part was totally, it just it was borderline made me mad how dumb it was.
Well, because it's a flash mob implied to take place in what, 2018?
Later than that even, I don't know,
which is probably like 10 years after flash mobs were cool.
Yeah.
Or like, and then they never were cool, but at least they had some sort of like charming value to watch. You know, a whole bunch of people got connected on the internet and now they're dancing. And then like we quickly outgrew that. And now like we just want to watch, you know, the videos of the same people doing epic fails compilation 2021.
Fucking flat. Dude, the fucking whole list thing was incredible.
So well, bad.
Can I, the back at the ending, do you remember the line of dialogue where the Noah character was like asking his brother and his fiance when the date was, like they haven't seen each other in 6 years?
Yeah. Well, what were the, both dads had like these weird accents where like I was googling to figure out like what they were supposed to be, like if I had missed something, if they were like supposed to have like immigrated from Eastern Europe or something, or Australia, because I couldn't figure it out because they had like these nondescript accents, but I guess they were just weird. Like I couldn't figure it out. Those were bizarre parents, by the way. All the parents in this were bad.
Parents were crazy. Yeah. Her like disgust with her new stepmom or whatever. There's just so, just the movie is the fucking, well, Mario Kart race was something.
They're South African.
I think the dad was South African.
I feel like
that's what that accent was, but I don't know.
No, you're right. The whole thing was filmed in South Africa, which makes sense now that a lot of these smaller characters.
The whole movie was?
Yeah, the whole movie is filmed in Cape Town.
What?
The entire thing, and filmed on the campus.
They reconstructed South Coast Plaza in entire
set. You're telling me that the scene at the Hollywood sign wasn't real?
All in South Africa.
There's no way.
The whole thing.
The scene at the Hollywood sign was stunningly bad. Green screen work.
Well, you did see like at the end, like the outtakes or whatever, and in
the final scene was on a green screen.
Yes, the 6 year later, like probably the easiest scene to set because there's not much to it, was just green screen. So I don't know.
They were at the kissing booth thing, the charity festival or whatever.
You know, the weirdest, going back to the parent, like, you know, Molly Ringwald, like obviously a legend, but like, you think about the movies Molly Ringwald's been in, like kind of like her the start of her career and being known as, you know, being part of the Brat Pack or whatever, and 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, all those movies, is like, those are some of the, you know, most important, like, you think like this is a teen movie or a YA movie.
Coming
like,
of age, for sure.
Coming of age movie, like intended for a younger audience in the 80s. And like, while they weren't perfect movies by any means, like The Breakfast Club, like had complexities to it, and they had complexities to the characters, and they didn't all get them perfect. And there are some things that didn't like age as well. Like, I know all that, but at least like when you're watching them, you get some emotion out of it. And so her being in this is like, I feel like it's like a wink to like parents, like watching this movie with their kids, saying like, hey parents, this is like the new version of like, you know, the movies you watched in the 80s. Whereas like, this compared to that is so stripped of like any substance. And I'm like, I'm not trying to like make it like a deeper criticism other than the fact that this movie sucks.
No, you're completely right. I agree. I guess you get, you know what, bring, if anyone out of the Brat Pack or not, or movies from like the John Hughes era to bring back Emilio Estevez, and not in the fucking Mighty Ducks thing. Bring him back in something like this. Let's get our Estevez boy back.
You just get the Breakfast Club back together. And
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think. Yeah, I would never like to see that. Actually, also, rest in peace, John Hughes.
Reverse that so fast.
No, because what would you do? It would be such a stupid cash in. Like it that whole concept of getting the Brat Pack sounds together sounds like a Honda commercial for the Super Bowl.
You know what you call that? You call it the Lunch Club. That's a sequel. You know any millennial jokes they would make in that? Or I guess they would say Zoomer in this. It'd be bad.
But by the way, we just have to say to all the boys I loved before is a significantly better trilogy than this shit.
Yes, much better. And that's not saying we loved every movie in that. Much better movie.
And so the last one was bad.
Yeah, but like the argument too, I keep going back to is like it's not for me. It's for like a younger audience. But younger audiences deserve good stuff too.
Well, the first to All the Boys I Love was a really solid rom-com on Netflix. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it's not a cop out. I feel like I say that to like at least give the Kissing Booth some slack, but like that's intended for the same audience and it's actually good. Like they're capable of doing it and I think that audience wants it. And so like that's why I just think like sometimes it's okay to say like, yeah, this movie's not for me, but even if it was, it'd be bad, not good.
Yeah. They deserve a treat. Well, the young folks.
Yeah. Well, but also the Kissing Booth, like, look, I'm going to defend it again. Like it never was intended to be good. It just was intended to be fun.
And
people might have fun with it. So I don't want to take
movie's
that away, but it's also not good.
Movie's lacking quite a bit of Noah Centineo.
Yeah. It needed some show me how you squirt or whatever it is he said.
What if Skylar Gisondo shows up?
Oh, yes.
I believe you mean Gizmondo?
Yeah, as like a 33-year-old character. Oh, the Chloe character too. I thought it was funny like when she was like it's like implied that she was older and she's like I'm 23. And it's like that's the age of the actor playing Noah. Like I'm just I don't know. Everything does it. What was the one that was on Netflix? The
Kissing Booth.
No, the show. I think Mindy Kaling was like a producer of it.
Oh, Never Have I Ever. Yeah, that's awesome.
Never Have I Ever. Very good. But like one of the lead guys in that is like 30. So like there's no consistency with the casting in these. Like I'm not being critical of it, but I do always like even back to like Beverly Hills 90210. 30 years ago is the greatest fucking offender of that. It's nothing new, but it's always like fun to like kind of point out.
Well, that guy's a funny name too. Is it Paxton Hall Yoshida, right?
Yeah.
That guy's cool.
What do you give this movie?
15. Yeah, I was about to say I'm settling in a 15 as well. Perfect. 15.
That's so low.
It's bad. Good. It's a really bad movie.
Never go that low. Holy shit.
No, but it's I'm like fair. I never go that low because normally I think there's like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm at the end of my run here and I'm just being real or whatever, but this just wasn't a good movie. I don't think there's like, there's not much redeemable about this, especially when you compare it to Never Have I Ever. Or well, not Never Have. What was the other movie? I keep messing up all these Netflix things, but even like Never.
Yes, I Love You. Wait, PS, not
no.
To All the Boys I Loved before.
Yes. To All the Boys I Loved. But even like Never Have I Ever is like another coming of age show that is like really good and smart for like a younger audience, even though audiences of all ages can watch it. So like it's just hard to say like I like this movie and then also give it credit because it's not for me. But at the same time, it's like I can watch stuff that's not for me and still find like calories, like mental calories in it, and it just doesn't have any in this movie.
Can I drop something on you that I think you'll think is funny?
Yes.
These are all based off of books, and all those books are written by someone whose name is Beth Reeks.
No, it looks like Beth Reekles.
Nope. You click on the name. Pen name is Beth Reeks.
That's new.
Your name. Why would you purposely go by Beth Reeks?
Kind of like that last name though.
The Welsh queen herself.
It's kind of cool though, because like she's 26 now. Their first booth came out, or first book came out in 2012. So like, I mean, she was that age.
You said the first booth.
The first booth. It is for the Kissing Booth. The first booth came out in 2012. So she was that age when she was like writing this. So like at least the source material comes from an honest place, maybe. I mean, I'm just trying to give it credit where like maybe you can assign some credit, but the movie adaptation, didn't like it. Give it a 15.
Uh-oh, stinky.
Oh, no.
When they're doing that like Top Gun beach volleyball scene, they're just like, well, we're gonna have a beach volleyball scene, and they pan to the crowd, and like every crowd looks like they're a member of the Hype House. I have never felt older like watching a movie in my life.
And there were so many people there to watch people they didn't know play volleyball. They didn't know any of those people. They didn't live there. It was bizarre.
Yeah, but like you have to imagine all the like the NPC characters are just like, hey, you know they're about to sell the beach house. We better live it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. It's not every day when you get to party at a beach house that's on the market.
Yep, exactly. That party was also hilarious. They're like, yeah, I may have invited a few people. Cut to like this beach house literally being like Project X. Yes, literally, yes. Dude, and fucking lights everywhere, like a full like production.
And then the lead character gives up and gets on like one of those like toasts, but he was like, let's live it up.
No. He says, cheers. He says,
to the bucket list stunk, by the way, get out of here.
He raises his drink and he says, to the beach house. And they all go, yeah they all live at beach house.
By the way,
hey man, I've known this beach house for 15 minutes, man. I got to say, this is the best goddamn beach house I've ever been to.
Oh my God.
How funny when they did the Mario Kart race when Marco got shoved off the road and he just kept accelerating through all the obstacles on the track. It was like the hot rod scene where he falls down the hill.
Yeah.
He speeds up. It just the go-kart just kept comically going faster as it blew through all these large barriers. Oh my God.
I love
what a fucking movie.
Noah eating that perfect form punch from Marco and just being the bigger man and walking away. I expected
a
fight.
That's character development because Joey King's character was like, no.
You know, he's being like, bad he's boy.
Like, you know what? I'm not going to punch him back.
I don't need this.
But then you almost want a character to be like, no, this is actually a situation where like you probably could punch him back.
Yeah.
He punched you.
Right, it was absolutely a punch back worthy moment. He got hit pretty hard too.
Yeah. And the other guy, he hit a volleyball into his face. And the other guy was acting like a bitch about it. He's like, you're trying to hurt people. It's like, dude, it's volleyball.
And then Lee shows up. He's like, hey, let's play a game I know how to play. It's called Who Knows the Most About This Beach House? I'll start. You know, my mom's a realtor. She's selling it. Oh, wow. Tell me more.
Realtor.
Realtor.
No, that's realtor. What they said in the movie. They said realtor.
Realtor.
Yeah. You sound like a realtor, mom.
I am a realtor. On Sunday, we're going
to
be talking.
Oh, she goes to USC, by the way.
Yeah.
She does. And she's a video game developer.
That's right. Which is like a very glamorous career, as been evidenced by everything we've learned about video game development in the last 10 years.
She dresses like, oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, God. That fucking. Why did they do that to her hair, dude? Why was that necessary?
It was just to try to convey a sense of time.
It reminded you of the character.
It's Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But it's in a bad way.
but it wasn't like 20 years past as a thing. It was 6 years, and you know they're still young adults. Like that's the thing that like really gets me, and I think that's the perspective of someone older watching this, where you're young, and you watch it, and like it might be valid if you're 18. You're like, wow, I'm going to be so old when I'm 26. Mm-hmm. But you get to be 37, you're like, man, I wish I was 26 again. I could go for a run without wanting to shit my pants.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a personal problem. I don't know.
No, that's more universal than anything. It's more universal than have a fucking beach house, I'll tell you that much.
I remember this beach house. We used to just sit here and eat Twizzlers all day. It's so many good times at this beach house. Do you remember when mom used to show up I give up. I can't
check your seat on this.
I was trying to think of something unrelatable, like brand new dirt bikes, and we used to ride the dirt bikes, and then we just would throw them in the dumpster afterwards. Done with that.
It's true though.
Free Guy next Sunday.
Great movie.
Yeah, I'm excited.
You guys are going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm very excited to watch it. Desserts draft. Desserts draft. Here's the rules. You're going to be drafting five things. Cookie, cake slash pastry, an ice cream product, a candy, and then a wild card. You can't do your wild card till the last round. That's the rule.
Okay.
The last round's a wild card. Going reverse the last time. Trill, myself, audience, Ken Jack.
Damn.
Well, you got I'll all go of first. Nature last time. So
I did.
Well, hold on. One note. Reminder, looking for products. So you can't, like I said, if you're going to pick chocolate chip cookie, you got to tell me which kind.
It is important.
Okay. Here we go. Trill, you're up first.
Okay, we're talking consumer products. What's the Southampton Bacon Company?
Tate's.
Tate's. I'm taking a Tate's chocolate chip cookie.
Okay, that's your first pick.
Not yeah. The best flavor, you fool. You made a grave mistake.
Oh, I'm sorry if I'm not from the island.
No, don't say that. Hey, mahalo, I'm walking over here.
Oh, no, Long Island. I'm not from Long Island. I don't know the full variety of the Tate's product tableau. I'm sorry. I like their chocolate chip cookies. You know why? They sell them at Target, and that's where I do my shopping.
And they're delicious.
And they're good.
You're going to get shit for this being 1-1, but I don't think it's a bad pick at all.
I'm going cookie as well with my pick. I'm going number one, homemade Toll House chocolate chip cookie. Hit me with that, the Toll House recipe, whether you make it off the back of the chips bag, you make your own dough, whether you get the roll, Toll House, fresh, soft out of the, oh, Toll House chocolate chip cookies. You know what, by the way, little life hack. People may know this, whatever. You know, if you got like a Tupperware of cookies and you want to make sure they stay soft, you know how to do that?
Put apple cider vinegar in it.
Drying sheet.
Both. One slice of white bread.
Eats up the moisture.
Yeah, the white bread will be hard as a rock. The cookies will stay soft.
Damn, dude. It's a life hack.
Life hack. If this was I love a good life hack on Instagram.
Life hack.
What?
If it was 2007, we'd be calling it a life hack.
Yeah.
Now life hacks are just like, tighten screws so your stuff doesn't fall apart.
No, there's an account I follow where it'll be like life hack for like, I don't know, it'll be like life hack for like holding like a make like a cup for change or something on your counter. And like the guy, he starts like welding shit together. Like, that's not a life hack. That's you're building something.
Mm-hmm.
A life hack is when that Russian guy on YouTube would open up the back end of a 12 pack of soda cans and push them through the back.
Oh, and they would all be cool.
Out in the, and that was a life hack.
What happened to that Russian guy that used to blow shit up with guns? He was a cool account. He might be gone now.
A Russian guy with a pet sable that has the sable go like get him beers from the fridge or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What was the gun guy's name? You know what I'm talking about, right, Jeff?
Fuck.
Is it Comrade something maybe?
FPS
or
Russia?
FPS Russia.
FPS Russia.
That was a great account. Uh-huh. I had to migrate because he was gone to the Hickok 94 guy, whatever his name is, the old guy that just shoots guns in his backyard. It's just cool. I love that guy. Old timer.
He used to, I think he did life hacks too. Could be wrong. Ken Jack, who's the audience member?
Our audience czar is Jacoby Marshmallow, who he has a very, I think, interesting group. And most of his picks, they're not like brands, but they're like moments, I would say. And I do like his picks a lot. And his first pick, let's do the big chocolate cake from Matilda for his cake pick. And I think that's a great pick because that pick did always make me hungry.
Oh, we can do like fictional.
I think you should be able to take it. I think, but do the big chocolate cake from Matilda in the picture.
Okay. I would let it slide with an audience member, but I was under the impression that the constraints had to fall within the.
Yeah, he's getting, it's going to say chocolate cake. It will not say from Matilda. The picture can have it.
The picture absolutely has to
be. Why can't I just say chocolate chip cookie without putting the Tate's name to it? Because then people are going to be like, have you ever tried like Stephanie's Cookies in New Albany, Ohio. Like, they're delicious.
He's getting boxed chocolate cake on the list. Like, that's just how it goes.
Just say chocolate cake, but do the picture of Brucey eating the cake.
But box, for the sake of the draft, box chocolate cake off the board.
Was that boxed? Man, it probably was.
All right, Ken Jack, back to back for you.
All right, I'm going to do, and I don't know what category this is going to count under. Can you guess what it's going to be? I mean, ice cream cake. What's it going to count under?
Ah, fuck. That's a vote between me and Trill.
Cake.
Yeah, it's ice cream cake.
Well, yeah, it's right. Cake as well.
So let's.
What did you want it under?
I wanted it under cake. So that
you have a specific. You have a specific one though.
Yes, Cold Stone Creamery ice cream cake. It is absolutely and totally delicious, and it does. I've tried like 3 or 4 different flavors of it now, and I'll never go back to Carvel a day in my life. I have no reason to go back anymore because it's so good. That's my first pick, and then I'll back to back it with. I'm trying to think of how I want it. I can go with a more relatable one or not. Let's do soft serve vanilla ice cream. Specifically, let's do. I'm trying to think if I want to do from like a buffet, because buffet soft serve just hits different. Just a fact. Or if I want to do like.
There's only one answer here, my man.
What is it?
Sonic.
Sonic, it is really good. See, that's my next one I was going to say. So fuck it. I'll just do Sonic then. Sonic soft serve ice cream, vanilla, waffle cone. Waffle cones.
Sonic, the first ice cream off the board.
Mm-hmm. Soft serve, specifically.
All right. What does the audience member get?
Let's do ice cream. And let's do Kevin McAllister's triple scoop from Home Alone 2.
This is an abomination.
Triple scoop of ice cream is the pick. The picture is Kevin McAllister's triple scoop from Home Alone 2.
But we have to give this person a brand, or this draft makes no sense.
Do what's like the Breyers?
Breyers. There it is.
Breyers triple scoop. 3 scoops.
It's getting Breyers ice cream. That's what the fucking list is gonna say. Audience member didn't follow the rules.
Okay, here's the thing. I picked them before you added the rule that it has to be a brand. So
that's fair. Hey, you know what that is? That's just tough scenes for our guy here.
Mm-hmm.
Breyers ice cream. For me, my pick, I'm going ice cream as well. I'm going with, and you can pick chocolate or vanilla, doesn't matter, M&M Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
M&M Blizzard from Dairy Queen.
M&M over Oreo is interesting. I might have picked Oreo here.
I'm not an Oreo and ice cream guy.
I love the Oreo Blizzard. It's so good.
That's just not, that's not yet. That's not my my go-to. Yeah.
It's a good pick. Who's up, Trill? Back-to-backs?
Yeah, I'll go. This is really specific, going back to my joke about the New Albany, Ohio. There's this place in Louisville, Kentucky called the Homemade Ice Cream and Pie Kitchen. And they had really good, I think it was like German chocolate cakes.
German chocolate cake's great.
Yeah.
Someone with coconut, right?
What's their name?
Homemade Ice Cream and Pie Kitchen. Not a creative name, but great food. In fact, it says it all in there. But they had these, they're almost like cupcakes. Other baked specialties. I'm trying to find them. I don't know. I can't find them. They had good cake bites and all that stuff. Oh, yeah. I'll send you a picture. It's like this specific cake. So it's just this chocolate cake. It's delicious.
German chocolate cake is fucking outstanding.
That's the one with coconut, right? I'm not making that up.
The Black Forest or whatever. Not Black Forest.
The one you have is not what I was thinking about at all.
Well, I'll just say like chocolate cake.
Well, German chocolate cake is very specific.
Yeah, but I think it was a German chocolate cake, and those do have coconut. I like that. I'll go with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get really specific on this. Now, they had these like cakes that were cut. They were almost like larger cake bites, you know, because they're cakes covered in frosting. Those are really good.
Yeah.
And then for the next one, what am I on? Ice cream?
Ice cream or candy.
I gotta go Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia.
Oh,
classic.
I love Cherry Garcia. I love how ample the cherries are. And it's actually pretty good if you ever go, like, I don't know how many Ben and Jerry stores there are still, but it's pretty good when you go to the Ben and Jerry store as well. Maybe it's fresh, but even now the carton is still pretty damn good.
I'm going to go candy. I'm going to go Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Mm, that was next on my list.
which maybe not the best. Like the Justin's dark chocolate cups are great, but like the Reese's peanut butter cups.
You like to, I don't have. Like, I never put them in the fridge. Freeze them. Get them cold.
It was.
Get them cold. Get it so cold. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You make that shit cold.
Yeah. Delicious. All right, audience. What do they pick? What movie?
The next one is technically part of a movie. It's peanut M&Ms, but in theater popcorn. It's very specific. So I guess peanut M&Ms, but involved in peanut at movie theater popcorn.
I could support peanut M&Ms just by themselves.
I agree. I think they're fantastic.
I think peanut M&Ms are better than regular M&Ms. I see no reason to eat a regular M&M if peanut M&Ms are an option.
No, I agree. I don't think it's a bad pick at all. And now I got back to back, right? Let's do. I really wanted Reese's Cups on the turn. That sucks. I could do Reese's Pieces, but it's not the same. Let's just do Snickers. I'm a big fan. Big fan of their work. I actually had their ice cream bar on my ice cream list, but luckily I was able to get soft serve. So let's do there for candy. And then for my cookie, I can also pick a brand that has already been picked, right?
Yeah, just sure. Not the same flavor.
So I'll also pick Tate's, but white chocolate macadamia, which is the far superior cookie in the Tate's arsenal.
I don't know. I'm going with Trail.
I'm just telling you, they're just way better than the chocolate chip.
Here's a problem. A lot of these cookies, you throw stuff in them, sounds good in concept. Sometimes the simplicity is all you need.
Look, I don't like regular chocolate chip macadamia or white chocolate macadamia cookies. I'm not a big fan, but in Tate's, they use just a little bit of like quartered macadamia nuts and a little bit of chocolate. It's not overboard and too rich like it is in other cookies. In Tate's, the thinness and the crispiness of it, it's absolutely delicious. Out of this world. Good cookie.
I need to try. I'll try it. I don't think they have a gluten-free version, though. It's part of it.
Oh, I forgot they're gluten-free.
They do. I'm not specifying the gluten-free, but I eat the gluten-free chocolate chip cookies, and every time I have it, I'm like, you know what? I bet it's good. The regular version of this.
You know what? Whenever I have one Tate's cookie, what I think is, you know what would be good is if I had 10 more of these in a row. If I took off that top layer of plastic guarding the coveted well of the bottom half of the cookie bag. And ate those as well.
And there's no way to open up a Tate's sleeve discreetly either.
No, it's the loudest sleeve you've ever heard. It's so fucking loud. Jacoby's back up, right?
Yep.
this is the worst pick they have on the list, but I'll pick it. It's the Shrek Gingerbread Man. And now it's just Gingerbread Man has got to be the pick.
Gingerbread cookies. Yeah, I like gingerbread cookies.
I agree. Gingerbread cookies and some milk. A fine cookie. Holy shit, it's really lightning and thundering here.
What? Really?
I just got like a...
I'm literally in our studio, our green screen studio. I have no idea what's happening outside.
It just fucking like lit up right outside my apartment. You're filming scenes
for the Kissing Booth 4 right now.
Exactly. But yeah, they got that. I do want to note they had other very good picks, but we can do the honorable mentions after. So Jeff's up, right?
It was a wild card as well. I'm picking my cookie or my cake or slash pastry, and I'm going to go with Entenmann's chocolate donuts.
They're very good, especially cold.
I love Entenmann's chocolate donuts. You get the good snap.
A full clip.
Maybe with it.
A full clip of Entenmann's always feels good. It's all the possibilities. The double stacked eight in there. Is that how many come in a full clip of Entenmann's?
Yeah. You like just powering through the whole clip?
Yeah, just fire off a whole clip of Entenmann's.
All right, Trill, you have you have your last two, candy and a wild card.
I think with candy, I'm going to go like tourist trap taffy.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, what? So, you know, like you go to like a tourist trap sort of place. There's like a main street with a lot of tourist attractions, and there's always the one place that does taffy. The taffy always slaps, though.
Yeah. Gets clogged up in your teeth. Nothing like a tone.
Yeah. Do they have taffy at Bucky's, Jeff?
Yeah, they have taffy at Bucky's.
See?
That's not like the main.
Bucky's not like a tourist trap, but it's like, you know, it's just like taffy's good. I like it. Was that a surprising pick?
I didn't think that'd be your candy pick.
I mean, I was going to take Starburst, but I don't like half of the Starburst, so it's tough for me. And then
you
I'm
pick
on
a
my...
chocolate bar too.
Yeah, there's like a lot of options to go here.
I don't love chocolate. I'm not a big chocolate bar guy. And if I do, if I had to pick my favorite chocolate bar, the Almond Joy, I would get made fun of.
I know Almond Joy is awesome. You would not get made fun of by me.
I feel like a lot of people are judgmental when I tell them Almond Joys I enjoy.
No, I agree. I completely agree. That is a very split issue, but I think that they are phenomenal. But I'm like also a huge coconut fan.
Candy.
No, it's just because it's soft and it's easy on the dentures. That's why people think that. But like that almond is crunchy. The coconut is delicious. The chocolate covering is great. Nothing like a good Almond Joy.
And my wild card is a Coca-Cola Slurpee.
Oh, wait.
Okay. All right. Yeah, sure.
Coca-Cola Slurpee. It's no. Not only is it a great dessert, it's a perfect pairing for a steak.
What the fuck?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Sure. What? You went so off the reservoir. Like, that is crazy. Saltwater, Taurus Taffy, and Coca-Cola Slurpee is not how I saw you rounding out your list.
I'm a weird dude, Jeff. I'm a weird man. I have unconventional tastes. You ever go into a 7-Eleven and then see that the Slurpee machine's not ready, but then still do it anyway to see if it's true or not? And 25% of the time, it turns out the Slurpee's actually drinkable. I hope I'm not breaking the machine when I do that, but I do that every time. It says not ready. I'm like, well, we'll fucking find out about that.
I'll be the judge of that. Grater's Black Raspberry Chip. My favorite pint of ice cream. The chips are fucking massive.
Anybody from Cincinnati will tell you they like Grater's.
Chiseling with a pickaxe to get at those chips. Carrying on.
Up to Jacoby's wild card. He has three picks. He has one that he clearly wants to be number one. I think that's one I should pick. But there's another one that I like more, but I'll do the one that he wants me to pick. He wants to pick the banana split that was on Chris Evans' ass in another teen movie. Very specifically that. Very specifically that banana split. So he gets regular banana split. That's totally fair. But the one that's on Chris Evans' ass and not another teen movie. Now,
if you were to eat a banana split out of someone's ass, like what's the starting point?
I guess the bottom. So that you finish off on a sweet note, you know, you want to go up to the top and finish up there.
I would just get the banana out of the way.
That's true. All right. So I'm up with my wild card. There's only two I even put on my list. One of them is tiramisu, which I love. But I just don't want to take it. Because there's one I like a little bit more. And have you guys ever been to the fine dining establishment Applebee's before?
Oh, yeah.
There's something they make there. It's called, I think, the maple butter blondie. It comes in like a skillet. There's a big old dollop of vanilla ice cream on top of it.
It's a bazooki.
It's better than a bazooki. And it is absolutely delicious. And that is what I'm going to pick. It's I guess, a maple butter blondie with ice a la mode, let's say. And it is that's my miscellaneous, because that is the one dessert from a chain restaurant which I'm like, if it's there, I need to get it. I absolutely need to get it because it's so fucking good. So that textural change, like the heat change of like hot brownie to cool ice cream, I just love that. A little bit a la mode.
You should have picked the Great Wall of Chocolate from P.F. Chang's.
I only been to P.F. Chang's like once.
I remember reading this profile of Hugh Hefner's son in GQ, and it went to great lengths to talk about the bazooki that Hugh Hefner's son was eating when they got lunch at BJ's or whatever with the interviewer. And it's just burned in my mind.
Bazooki,
whatever.
Never had it.
BJ's, yeah. BJ's Brewhouse. Good stuff. I put the Pepperidge Farm chocolate chunk, double chocolate chunk on there too, but I didn't pick it. But love those.
I had the Pepperidge Farm Montauk milk chocolate, which I really like.
And if you know Milk Bar's great. Milk Bar's got a birthday cake. Oh my God.
Had that once a while ago. It was pretty good.
Fuck.
See,
go try it out. You go try it out if you see a Milk Bar. The Cosmopolitan. Always next to a Mama Fuku's because it's the same people.
I had a Tres Leches on here too. Swedish Fish, Choco Taco. Our audience czar though, Jacoby, he had strawberry cheesecake and confetti cupcakes, but he also had his wild card, I thought was very funny, because he also had Milkshake by Kellis the Song as a potential wild card, and also Daniel Plainview's metaphorical milkshake from There Will Be Blood, which I thought would have been a great pick. That's what I wanted him to have for his metaphor for his wild card, but it was his third overall in his pecking order, so I thought that would have been good.
Those are the lists.
No cheesecake appearances.
Yeah, cheesecake, you kind of get roasted for that, right?
I'm not a cheesecake guy.
What's the big cheesecake place in New York City? Like the
Factory?
It's right next door to the Spaghetti Factory.
had a hard day's work at the Spaghetti Cheesecake Factory.
In the Industrial District, you got them both together. No, there's one place they do like the mail order cheesecakes on like dry ice because they're so famous. You know, that's always like the mark of like a really famous local place is when they'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck the Juniors.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Tourist Trap.
I'm going to order one off of Gold Belly, which is like $50 a slice, probably.
It's across from the Krispy Kreme flagship now. Which I almost picked a Krispy Kreme glazed donut for my cake, but I decided it's fuck it.
Have you been to the Krispy Kreme flagship?
Yeah. I walk by it sometimes when I walk to work or walk home.
Wow.
Wow. It used to be the Hershey store. Next to the M&M store. All right. That's it. Kendrick Control. I'm Jeff Lowe. Free guy on Sunday. Fuck you though.
Have a good week at the box office.